grain markets kind of limped into the holiday weekend with wheat prices anchoring the ag markets. Cattle trade was mixed ahead of the cattle on feed report, and lean hog futures ran out of gas after a recovery from the midweek low.
Live from the very cusp of an extended weekend via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we talk with Mark Gold from Top Third Marketing. And in the final segment, I will update you the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip.
Easy. You're gonna pull something. You need to be careful doing that.
I think I popped my clutch.
Oh, man, here we are, Davis. The last show of a very busy week here on AgriTalk, wasn't it?
It really was. And then I had the added joy of corralling the children and telling them we were going to Disneyland and then driving them over to the dentist. They were less than impressed.
Sooner or later, they're going to figure that out.
I know. Next time I'm going to have to use Disney World. They'll never figure it out.
You just keep Adventureland. We're going to the big giant slide. You got all kinds of things you can do. What?
Here's one I just saw. I'm not going to be able to use the Minnesota State Fair.
Oh no.
They're great. Their state fair was a great state fair.
I hadn't heard that one yet. Oh, man. So those decisions are starting to come down for August, September now.
Yes.
Man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is crazy. That is crazy, crazy, crazy. What we're going to be talking about today, I'm really looking forward to this with Mark Gold, Top Third Ag Marketing. Think about the experience that Mark is bringing to the conversation this afternoon and how to deal with the market conditions, the uncertainty that we face. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm looking forward to the perspective that he is going to put on what's happening on some of the livestock trade and some of the things that are happening in the industry. Because, we're looking at some improvement on the week-to-week slaughter pace for both cattle and on hogs. Doesn't mean that we're where we need to be. And how the markets all react to that is going to be very interesting going forward. So, Davis, really looking forward to that. And, of course, looking forward to your Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report at the end of the show.
Got to watch out for those spreads. Something very interesting happened this week.
Really? Well, I can't wait to hear about it.
Well, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait till the fourth segment, my friend.
Very good. Very good. All right. Let's get to what was moving the markets today.
Well, Chip, the Paris and Black Sea wheat futures markets are having big time influence on U.S. wheat prices this week, with improved growing conditions pulling prices lower. And with more rain in the forecast for the week ahead, wheat prices headed into the three-day weekend on the defensive. Technically, July soft red wheat futures saw an increase in volatility starting Wednesday morning. The push to the upside stopped just short of a full test of resistance at 525, accelerating the price setback into the end of the week. July hard red winter wheat was 7¼ cents lower, 508¾. July soft red wheat dropped a dime to 444½. July spring wheat sagged to 5¾ cents lower, 512¼ today, Chip.
So what we're doing is we are watching the production potential in the countries that are providing the greatest competition to U.S. wheat exports. It's not really Canada. It's not really Australia. It's some of those European countries are there because they will sell regardless of price. They'll just move it. But Russia, and that's a currency thing. And overcoming the currency relationship with the Russian ruble, that's going to be really tough in the years ahead. Yeah.
Corn futures are stuck in what is now a four-week sideways trading range. July corn futures have pivoted around the 320 level in May and so far have been able to stay above the spring lows posted last month. Early selling in soybean futures limited buying interest in corn futures, as did the setback in crude oil. Traders indicate they'll keep a close eye on the ethanol situation next week. Word is, Chip, a vessel filled with U.S. ethanol that was headed to Saudi Arabia is now on a path to China. Also, escalating tensions between the U.S. and China over the treatment of Hong Kong could create demand uncertainties for all U.S. ag commodities.
Yeah.
July corn futures were a quarter of a cent higher at 318. September corn slipped a quarter of a penny to 322 and three quarters. December corn closed at 332 and three quarters, down a quarter of a cent. I kind of wish I'd been around to hear the show this morning. The tensions between the U.S. and China on so many different issues, and yet
it's crazy,
China maintains,
isn't it?
Oh, we're going to live up to our phase one.
Right.
Quite the deal.
Right. Yeah, it is really crazy what is going on and how aggressive. Well, I guess it's no surprise in how aggressive President Trump has been in his comments about the top of the leadership in China. In other words, President Xi Jinping.
Mm-hmm.
But the rebuttals and the
yes.
the comments back from Xi now, that is something that is kind of brand new. So
it's
tit for tat stuff, man.
Well, the latest conflict between the U.S. and China sent July's soybean futures to a new low for the month at 828.5. July bean trade has been confined to a 30-cent trading range since April 22, and today's test of the bottom of the range was the first in 3 weeks. Next week, traders will be looking for additional export demand from China and other importing nations. Planting progress on corn and soybeans will also be monitored as the last plant date for corn is rapidly approaching in some of the least planted areas, Chip. That could send some intended corn acres over to soybeans. July bean futures were 1¾ cents lower, 833¼. August beans slipped 2 cents, 836.5. November bean futures closed at 844.5. That's down a penny today, Chip.
Yeah, we're going to be watching the potential for some acres moving back and forth. But I tell you what, man, if China is committed and does make an effort to live up to the terms of phase one and does buy ethanol, does buy soybean oil. They bought some soybean oil. If they stay active in our markets, that demand can overwhelm any potential increase in acres that we're looking at right now.
Okay. Well, Chip, July cotton futures posted a new low for the week and posted the lowest close of the week heading into the Memorial Day weekend. July cotton was 53 points lower, 57.33. December cotton fell 91 ticks, 57.79. On the livestock side, June live cattle futures were $1.10 lower, 97.70. August cattle fell 90 cents to 97.32.5. August feeders 7½ cents lower, 128.80. And finally, on the snout side, pressure on pork product prices and cash hog bids sent futures into the weekend with lower prices. June lean hogs 57½ cents lower, 58.77.5. July fell 127.5 to 55.90, Chip.
All right, let's check some of these weekly changes. July corn off a penny and a quarter. Deese corn down just, up 0.75 cents. July soybeans down 5¼ cents. Novi beans down just a penny. July wheat, that is the SRW flavor, up 8½ cents. The HRW July contract down 7¾. July spring wheat up 6¾. June live cattle up 70 cents. August feeder cattle down $2.27.5. And June lean hogs on the week up 90 cents. So kind of a go nowhere in the fat cattle and the lean hogs. All right, coming up next, we've got Mark Gold. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
You're listening to the new AgriTalk with Chip Flory and me, the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. I'm your host, Chip Flory. You there, Davis?
I'm here. Yeah.
Good.
Davis.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get to the conversation with Mark Gold, I want to go over the cattle on feed report that was released at the top of the hour.
Oh,
you know, for the total number of cattle on feed on May 1, Here's the range, 94.1 to 96%. 94.1 to 96%. It's like a two point range on that. That's, to me, that's very tight. And they nailed it. It was off 5%. Total number of cattle and feed on May 1. Now get the range on placements in April, 71.8% up to 86.7% of year ago.
Oh, jeez.
For an average of 77.4%, which would be a 22.6% decline. Yeah, it was down 22%.
You're
so
kidding me.
Even though we got that really wide range, the average of the guests was doggone accurate. And on marketings in April, the range is 70% of year ago up to 82.7% of year ago. The average was a 24.9% decline.
Mm-hmm.
The decline was 24%.
What? Wow.
I guess
working from home has improved everyone's cattle math somehow.
Well, it's just that you get those wide ranges like that, and the average was right there. That's how it's supposed to work. That is how it was supposed to work. But with a range that wide, of course, you want to say that, well, somebody was surprised by these numbers. And as a matter of fact, there's probably more people surprised by the fact that it was accurate on the average. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
Let's have the conversation now with Mark Gold. Mark is with Top Third Ag Marketing. Joins us right now. Mark, it is good to talk with you. How are you, man?
Chip, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing all right. How are you holding up through all of this?
I tell you, this has been 2.5 months that we'll never get back in our lives. I'm too old to give away 2.5 months sitting on my backside, not getting out in the world.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm not going to disagree with you either, Mark. You said it. So what's it like to watch the Chicago White Sox go undefeated leading up to Memorial Day?
You know, I think it's fantastic. I think they've got a big gain on the Cubs right now, and you know, wouldn't you just love to get the season open and see some baseball?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Here's how much I'm thinking about it, Mark. We've got a conversation on Monday show on Memorial Day with Jim the Rookie Morris. Remember him, former major league pitcher.
Didn't
make it to the majors until he was 35.
Yeah, I've met him.
Yeah.
He was at a conference I was at as a speaker, and a nice guy, and he did a good job on the speaking tour.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a lot of fun to talk with. It's the second time we've had him on the show, and he is. He's just a lot of fun to talk with, and his story is so inspirational. And one of the big reasons I wanted to have him on is because it is Memorial Day. He comes from a family that was heavily involved in the military, and so I wanted to get his take on everything going into on Memorial Day. It's really inspirational. The conversation that we had. Here we are, man, going into Memorial Day in 2020. It just feels different than most because of we're still trying to figure out what's the right thing to do, aren't we?
Well, I think people are, it's not that they don't want to respect all the CDC regulations at all, but you know, it's just tough sitting around 2.5 months, you know, with really no social interaction. People want to get out, and you can't say you blame them. You know, one thing about Memorial Day this year is, you know, the president said we're at a war with this unknown virus. Well, these warriors who are on the front line, the doctors, the nurses, the first responders, you know, a lot of them have died, and I think they ought to be included in our thoughts on Memorial Day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is very true. Hey, Mark, can you step a little closer to the phone, maybe? I think you're a little bit muffled on us.
Okay, is that any better?
Yeah, I think that is better. Yeah, and what Mark was just saying was that with the healthcare workers that have been on the front lines and those that have died, we need to remember them in our thoughts as we, I'm going to say, celebrate Memorial Day. I think we have to because it's the start of, you know, it's the traditional start of grilling season. It's the start of vacation and travel season, Mark. I hope that people do that. I hope we celebrate with it. It's important to do.
So you want to talk about the markets?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What do you make of what's going on? This corn market is just stuck in a sideways rut, isn't it?
Well, I got the funds short over 200,000 contracts. They keep pressing it. We keep waiting for China business that doesn't come. We get the rumors, the wheat market rallies. We don't see any confirmation. We start right back down again. The crops are in generally too good a shape to think that we're not going to be looking at a big crop out here. We'll get the first crop ratings on Monday, I think, and they should be pretty strong. We've had some flooding issues, some dry issues, but for the most part, the crops are in relatively decent shape. We may have to see some replanting, but, you know, when you're looking at a 3.4 billion bushel carryout, you either have to have a major drought or huge Chinese business to turn those numbers around.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And at this point, Mark, it's don't you think it's demand would have a bigger impact, an increase in demand would have a bigger impact on price action than if we would have to replant some corn acres or if we would start to see some issues developing out there the way that this market is traded, right?
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. You know, one thing, I've been liking this crop year to the 1983 year, where we were just wet and cold all May, right up to the end of the month. On June 1st, it started to turn hot and dry. We went through a hot, hot June, but the market made a new low on June 30th. And then we had the pick acres, I think it was, and then we had a hot and dry summer, and the market took off. Beans went for $3.50. Corn went for over a buck. And, you know, I'm hoping, not that I want to see a drought, but I'm hoping that we see those kind of price actions because the weather does change.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, 1983 included a lot of the pick year and the acreage set asides that we had in place at that time. And on the movement of old crop corn, anything that's still in the bin, Mark, it feels like government plans, policy, actions are having as much of an impact on moving that old crop corn as any time in history, isn't it? I mean, you put another payment in farmers' pockets, they're not going to move corn, are they?
You know, I believe that's right on the money, Chip.
Yeah.
You know, it all depends how much money these guys are going to get and when are they going to get it. These FSA offices, from what I understand, are pretty hard to get into. Some are open, some aren't. And to get in, there's lines and everything else. So, you know, when are you going to get paid? If you do get paid, you'll get paid at some point. But what can you do for cash in the meantime? I don't know. You know, it just blends into this whole uncertainty that's in the market.
Yeah. Yeah. And more of the uncertainty surrounding the COVID and because of the pandemic is shipments out of Brazil and some of the ports down there. What are you hearing on labor issues, Mark? Is everything, they still loading boats on a regular schedule?
I'm hearing that they are loading boats, but I'm also hearing that the number of COVID cases is going through the roof. So I don't know how long that's going to last. Obviously, we'd like to see that business shift to the U.S. We certainly don't want to see people in Brazil die over COVID to better our exports out here. But it's an issue that we have to keep a close eye on.
Yeah, yeah. See some labor disruptions. And you know what? I'll compare it to what we've experienced here in the U.S. with the shutdowns at some of the slaughterhouses. If we would see some shutdowns of those plants, China keeps buying, don't they?
And we haven't seen them stop. They had record exports in Brazil. They exported records in April.
Yeah.
We assume May is going to be another record. So they're buying, you know, but there's so much conflict now between China and the U.S., China and Hong Kong, and China and Taiwan. Again, just more uncertainty in this market.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about that a little bit more when we come back, because when China overnight started to drop the hammer on Hong Kong, and President Trump says that if that is true, that the response could be significant. Boy, you really have to wonder exactly what that might mean for us going forward and what those Chinese relations might be. The other thing, like I said, it's the start of the summer. It's the traditional kickoff to the grilling weekend. What might that mean for beef demand, for pork demand? And how are we going to get these cattle and hog markets right for the rest of the summer? We'll find out what Mark thinks next, right here on AgriTalk. It's time for Pro Farmers Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. China's security law blindsides traders. Law means the end of one country, two systems arrangement that Beijing promised would last for 50 years, and they made that promise in 1997. China's National People's Congress is underway. The National People's Congress kicked off, which was delayed by almost 3 months this year because of the COVID pandemic. China again pledges to work with the U.S. to implement phase one. Trump says he won't close the country if a second wave of coronavirus hits here. AstraZeneca hopes to start shipping COVID-10 vaccine by September. Ukraine has less than 300,000 metric tons of wheat left to export. Check out all that ProFarmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me, and we are talking to Mark Gold from Top Third Ag Marketing today. Before we get back to that conversation, let's go ahead and get a recap of how the markets closed, Davis.
Chip, July hard red winter wheat was 7 1/4 cents lower at 508 3/4. July soft red dropped a dime, 444 1/2. July corn futures were 1/4 cent higher at 318. December corn closed at 332 3/4. That's down 1/4 cent today. July bean futures 1 3/4 cents lower, 833 1/4. Novi bean futures 844 1/2, down a penny today. July cotton 53 points lower, 5733. June live cattle futures were 1.10 lower, 97.70, and August feeders 7 1/2 cents lower, 128.80, and June lean hogs 57 1/2 cents lower, 58.77 1/2. There's your quick market recap. Now back to you.
All right. Thank you very much. We're talking with Mark Gold here today. We need to get him back on the line. I think we'll be able to do that here pretty quick. Yep, there he is. Hey, Mark, just I want to recap real quick here the cattle on feed report that we got this afternoon. Total number of cattle on feed as of May 1 down 5%. Total number placed in April down 22%. Total marketings in April down 24%. And surprisingly, even with the ranges that we had on the pre-report guesses, Mark, things lined up fairly well with the average trade guess, didn't they?
Yeah, they were lined up within, 1% on placements, and the marketings on feed was right on the number. I honestly don't know how to interpret these numbers anymore.
Yeah.
How many were we going to get through on the slaughter? We had 101, I think, today, and it was 552 for the week. So, how quickly can we really get that slaughter back up to where it needs to be to work through all these cattle? Cattle Facts thinks it's going to be quite some time before we can work through all these cattle. But, I think there's with beef prices where they're at, I think there's a strong incentive to try to get as much as they can. It's just a matter of what are the workers going to do? What are the unions going to do? But hopefully we've sorted most of this out by now.
Yeah. One thing that I've picked up from the cattle side of things is that is different than hogs, is on the cattle side of things, they're just going to delay the marketings, delay as long as they can until we finally get things cleaned up, which means that it's going to take a while to get there, I think. On the hog side of things, we could get back to a current situation quicker than many think right now, but only because we're going to euthanize more market-ready hogs in the days and the weeks ahead, Mark. It's an unfortunate way of getting back to a current marketing situation quicker, but I think that's going to happen for hogs.
Well, they say there's about 2 million hogs that are overbearing on this market. But, you know, what a shame in America where we've got hungry people, out of work people, and we can't get the food to them that they need. I mean, something's wrong. But we can't settle that here. It is what it is for the time being. But hopefully they can, you know, do something to work through these hogs. Maybe the Corps of Engineers needs to open up a couple of slaughter plants.
Yeah.
If we can get them staffed, that would probably be the big issue. But, you know, something's got to be done.
Yeah. I was just going to ask if you think that this is going to be bring on some long-term permanent change to the slaughter process. And you know what I'm talking about. The conversation in the cattle industry right now, Mark, there's never been more tension between the producers and the packers, between producers and the commodity groups that are trying to represent them, between producers and other producers. The tension is as thick as I've ever seen it. And they want permanent long-term change in either the way that the cash cattle are negotiated and the number of cattle that are negotiated, or they want more shackle space out there and they want it now. Will we see long-term change?
I think we're going to have to. You can't produce these cattle at $80 a pound and watch them get boxed beef at $450.
Right.
I mean, the poor cattle guy out there is just getting slaughtered himself.
Yep.
And well, the beef is at an incredibly high price. I paid $10 a pound for hamburger meat in Chicago the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nuts. So we've got to do something long term, or people are going to walk away from it. I mean, what else can you do unless there's just huge, continuous government bailouts? Something's got to be done. And that war is going to continue between the ranchers and the packers, with the packers at the much better end of the stick on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, those beef prices, Mark, if this lasts for a long enough period of time, people are going to find something else to eat other than beef.
It'll go to pork and chicken. And, you know, the question is, can we slaughter enough animals to get them in the system for them? I think we can, but, you know, certainly that's going to hurt beef demand. But then, you know, if we can get these cattle back in and we can get that boxed beef price down to a reasonable price, you know, the demand... People always want to eat steak over pork chops or a chicken leg.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the demand will come back. But at these prices, it makes it awful tough.
Certainly does. Certainly does. Can a guy even consider doing anything on the risk management side of cattle and hogs right now, Mark?
Well, you've had a $22 rally in these fats. You know, you've got to look at buying some puts.
Okay.
One thing the crude oil market told us this year is we don't know what the risk is anymore in any commodity. If crude oil can go to $40 under a barrel, negative 40, you know, what can happen out here in the grains and our livestock? So, you know, people always, you know, we never make any money with puts, but you've got a different risk parameter out here than you've ever had before. And on a $22 rally in the cattle, I think you've got to buy some puts out there and protect yourself.
Okay.
I'd like to see the June cattle close over $100, 100.50. That would indicate that maybe we can see this thing rally. So we'll see how the market reacts on Tuesday. But if we could close over that, then I think we're going to see the futures try to move up to where the cash is, and that's anywhere between 115 to 120.
Okay. Yeah, boy, the... The disconnect between cash and futures right now is really something to see. And we need to get through this disruption and get to where we can start to make sense of everything moving forward. What about on the hog side of things? We haven't seen that $22 rally. You feel like guys need to have any downside protection on there?
Well, you know, you hate to tell guys to buy puts with $55 hogs out here.
Right. They're
going to go to 40. You know, we've been close. Can we go back there? Yeah, we can. You know, what I would do is just try to put a buck or a buck and a half in some put just in case we're looking at $20 hogs, you know, in 6 months or whenever it is. You know, as a risk manager, I try not to predict those kind of things, but I try to manage the risk.
Yep.
And again, do I want to spend a whole lot of money at puts at these levels? No, I really don't.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. So as we look forward into June, go, Mark?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, on the grain side, I don't know. I haven't heard one person talk about the oat market. Oats have rallied 60 cents since the lows in March. They always say oats are the indicator.
Right.
So I don't know if that's saying something, but I just thought I'd mention that.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did, because I'll be honest, I haven't looked at it. I haven't seen anybody talking about it either.
And I looked at the chart, and it's been a nice bull market move from 280 up to, excuse me, 260 up to 220, up to 323 today. So, you know, that's one heck of a move. And, you know, the old timers always used to say, if you want to know where the grains are going, look at the oats.
Yep. Oats knows.
Oats knows.
Jay Homan, right? Have I got that name right?
You got it just right.
Yep. With the saddleback shoes and everything.
He was the one and only broker in the oat pit for the better part of 35 years, never missed a day, even when his father passed away. They had the funeral late in the afternoon so he could be there.
Yep.
You know, he was a one-man show back there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was fun to watch sometimes. Over on the grain side, outside of oats, strategies there, are you feeling an urgency to do anything in the grains?
Well, can December corn go to 280? That's a 50-cent drop. It certainly can. You know, if we have a 3.4 billion carryout and we're fighting with the Chinese and everything else, it certainly can. So would I tell a guy, even though prices are historically pretty cheap, to spend 10 cents on something out there so you feel some kind of protection? You know, the government's going to help you quite a bit out here. They're not going to let, before an election in particular, they're not going to let you guys just get buried out here. But I think, you know, if you're a prudent guy, you want to look at some kind of put for a dime, maybe a short dated December, maybe a December put straight out there. But you want to do something because the risk is certainly there. And the same thing on the bean market. The November beans go down to 770. You've got a 60, 70 cent risk there. Spend 15, 20 cents on some kind of put. Hope to God you don't need it. It's the insurance policy. You don't want it to pay off in prices. We get some kind of action this summer. But there's too many uncertainties that we've talked about out here not to have some kind of protection on.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. All right, good stuff, Mark. Man, hopefully we're going to get a baseball season some way, somehow, some shape, form yet this year. And if we do, we'll have to figure out some way to watch a game together.
Well, you know, I'm trying to get tickets for that Sox-Yankees game in the Field of Dreams. I hope it pans out, because I'd love to.
That would be really cool if we can make that happen yet this year. Mark, happy Memorial Day. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Chip. You too. Bye-bye.
You're all right. That is Mark Gold, Top Third Ag Marketing. Big thank you to Mark for sticking with us on a Friday going into a three-day weekend. Really appreciate that. All right. When we come back, the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report.
This season, while work for you may have changed, our season is underway. American agriculture farms on for our family and yours.
Ever since I met your girl, you've been on my brain.
This is it, Davis.
This is it.
One last segment before we get to a three-day weekend. What do you think of that, buddy?
I'm ready.
You like some
I'm ready.
Of that?
Yeah.
All right.
In my
All
head,
right.
I'm already over at the lake. Right. I'm there now. Seriously. I just can't take it anymore.
Wait, no, I'm not kidding. Love it, love it, love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great conversation there with Mark. You know, the points that he was making about is there another 10% downside risk in cattle? Sure there is. Is there another 10% downside risk in corn? Sure there is. He made a great point, and I've heard him say it before, but he said, listen, as a risk manager, I try not to make the predictions. I just try to manage the risks that we are facing.
Yep. Don't predict price. Protect it.
Right. Yep. Right. And when a risk manager says something like that, the argument's over. Yeah. You can try to argue if you think prices are going up or what's going to drive prices up or if prices are going to go down. and what is going to drive prices down. But when a risk manager says, listen, I don't predict, I'm just talking about what are the best ways to manage the risk that we are all facing, you got to respect that. And he's looking at puts. And before you guys say, surprise, surprise, Mark Gold looking at puts, that is not a constant with Mark. It wasn't that long ago. It was not that long ago that he was not talking about buying puts at all. So remember that. Remember that.
Yep.
He mentioned 1983.
Yeah.
As a potential year that we could see similar conditions. I remember that cool May. June was fairly wet. Planting progress was rapid. Eastern Iowa got a good rain, a heavy rain, too much rain, on July 3rd, 1983.
Okay.
It didn't rain again until September 8th in any measurable way. If we would see something like that, yeah, that would have an impact on the markets. I made it sound like, well, but we also had the pick year and we had set asides and we had this and we had that and everything else. Nothing trumps a dry period like that. It's weather that was the main driving force in the rally that we saw in 1983 in corn and soybeans. There's just no question about that. Okay. Let's get to it, man. Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report.
Give me five, give me that, what that is up. Ooh, yeah.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor. For weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district, visit profarmer.com. And now, Chip!
Hey, somebody threw another steak on the grill. I'm still hungry.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. You know, price action isn't really what's interesting about this week's price survey. Last week we saw all of our fertilizer prices, all seven of them, moved less than a dollar, with urea moving 99 cents to the upside. This week, a pretty similar type of deal, except we've got UAN 28% breaking out to the downside regionally off $1.83 per short ton to $243.78. Everybody else is a little changed, right around that 50 cents. Most of them to the upside. I've got anhydrous 51 cents higher this week, 507.09. DAP is up 60 cents, 424.26. MAP up 95. That's at 419.69. I'll just keep going. Potash here, up 56 cents, 357.44. Here's 28% is off $1.83, 243.78. 32% is up 27 cents, 274.31. And urea is up all of 14 cents per short ton on the week to a regional average of 388.23. Urea still very heavily overpriced compared to anhydrous ammonia and compared to our nutrient composite index. This, as word continues to come from the wholesale market of uncertainty, you know, buyers are afraid to step in, and so prices are really trailing off in the wholesale markets. In fact, I detailed that in an article here that I'm talking while I try to call up here and make it seem like really subtle, like I'm, you know, have got it all together here. Well, never mind. I'll find it later. I'll find it later. But basically, the wholesale price is off like 20-some percent on the year.
Okay.
The retail price in urea is off like 7%.
Okay.
So
I
think
we kids.
it's gotta be coming down here. Overpriced in the retail market, moving lower in the wholesale market. And so that's all been very interesting to watch. And we still expect urea prices to come down and align themselves just a little bit better with the rest of the segment. What's really interesting is, for the first time since the first week of May 2019, our nutrient composite index expected new crop revenue spread has moved to the positive side. So our nutrient composite index is now at a premium of 0.72 of a point to expected new crop revenue. That's kind of significant, although, you know, the way that things have been since 2012, we've been high right, or, you know, top left, bottom right for pretty much the life of the inputs monitor.
in spring of 2016 was the last time we saw this setup, but it was erased immediately by a rally in corn. I don't know that we're going to get that rally in corn the way that we've seen it when the spread gets too narrow. You just have to keep an eye on it. Diesel's down another 3 cents, $1.50 regionally. It just keeps going down. Hey, look, if you need it, buy some. Michigan's off 39 cents. Nebraska off 15 cents. LP up a penny. All told, our nutrient composite index is up 0.2 of a point to 541.04. No movement in fertilizer this week, Chip.
Wow. All right. Hey, real quick. Thank you. Thank you, Davis.
Yeah, you bet.
Real quick, Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing, who is going to be a guest on the show next week. Funds are short 246,000 contracts of corn.
Whoa.
Wow. Soybeans, the funds are long about 12,000 contracts of corn, and they are short about 11,000 contracts of Chicago wheat. That was as of Tuesday. The comment from Sam is selling in wheat and soybeans was underestimated. So we got to keep track of that. Hey, happy Memorial. We've been talking about, find a way to remember those that made the ultimate sacrifice, but also find a way to celebrate. All right, we got to get back to as close to normal as we can. Have a great weekend, everybody.